Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be gathered together today for our worship service. We do have a request that you would forgive our mess as far as the carpet is concerned. They're working on getting the carpets finished up this week, and I think little bit of a odor that's hanging in the room from the latex on the floor will dissipate very soon. If it is bothering you, feel free to sit out here. I'm going to leave this side door open so that if you're out in the fellowship hall this morning because that's bothering you, you can still hear and listen in and be a part of the service that way. We are blessed to be together and gathered around the Lord's word. As we said in the Facebook post that went out yesterday, he promises to be with us. And this is why we gather around his word and sacraments, because he promises to show up. And so we're overwhelmed to have the blessing of the gathering of the church this morning. If you're joining us on the radio today, we wish you the Lord's blessings as well, and thank you for tuning in and joining us. Our service this morning from Divine Service Setting 3. We also will be talking today about the Lord's gifts and blessings for us and how he blesses us through his differing gifts and blessings. So, with that all said, I invite the congregation to turn to hymn 348 for our hymn of invocation. That hymn is "The King Shall Come When Morning Dawns." Let's sing that together. Begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you. and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our introit this morning from Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness, enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness. We continue with the Kyrie spoken this morning. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you have given exceedingly great and precious promises to those who trust in you. Dispel from us the works of darkness and grant us to live in the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, that our faith may never be found wanting. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. As we draw close to the end of the church year in our lectionary, which is next Sunday, And then we'll be in the season of Advent already. But as we draw closer and closer to the end of the church year, we find our readings to be more and more about the last day, about the return of Christ. And often the readings bringing things to our minds that maybe we don't often consider as far as both the salvation of people at the end of the world and also the judgment. And here in the Old Testament reading this morning from Zephaniah, we hear something about the latter. We begin in verse 7 of Zephaniah chapter 1. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guests. And on the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials and the king's sons and all who array themselves in foreign attire. On that day, I will punish everyone who leaps over the threshold and those who fill their master's house with violence and fraud. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will be heard from the fish gate, a wail from the second quarter, a loud crash from the hills. Wail, O inhabitants of Mortar, for the traitors are no more. All who weigh out silver are cut off. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are complacent. Those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. Their goods shall be plundered and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue now with our epistle lesson from 1 Thessalonians Chapter 5. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to please stand now if you're able for our Alleluia and the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to thee, Lord.
I invite you this morning before our reading to know that this reading, this parable, is the text for our sermon this morning as well. We begin here in verse 14. Jesus said, "For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another one, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more. So also he who had the two talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gathered where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. To everyone who has will more be given. And he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Would you join us this morning in confessing our faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty.
Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The 3rd day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. Our hymn of the day for this morning is hymn number 508, The Day is Surely Drawing Near.
Thank you.
I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. The parable. What a doozy, huh? Amazing. But I think, and hopefully you were able to hear the parable as we read it earlier, I think the parable has one main lesson for all of us. Simply this. The things our master gives to us reveal what kind of people we are. In the parable, the man calls his servants before he goes on a journey and entrusts them with what the text called his property, his talents. To one, he gave five. To another, he gave two. And to the last, he gave one, each according to their abilities, the text told us. But notice in the parable that the investments made by the master into each of those servants bring to light the truth about each servant. After a long time, then, the master returns, and the first two servants hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." They did the master's will with what he delivered and entrusted them with. But the last servant, the one who received just one talent, rather than doing the master's will with what belonged to the master, he sought to accomplish his own agenda with what he was given. And he lets the master know it in the parable in verses 24 and 25. He said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here," he says, "have what is yours." This is an example of this man using that which was given him to achieve his own ends, to reach his own goal. It was not what the master wanted to be done with his property at all. This reveals to the master the last servant's character. He feared the master, so his goal was to figure out a way to use the investment to protect himself from what he feared. He thought by burying it in the ground and giving it back to the master, sure, it's the bare minimum, right? But it would protect him from what he feared in the wrath of his master, and it didn't work out. All it did was reveal the man's heart. Verse 30 then says, "Cast that worthless servant into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I don't know why, but gnashing of teeth is just rough, isn't it? And if you had to go to the dentist this week, you get it, right? It's rough. Yikes. And it seems to us kind of a bit harsh, this judgment. But it isn't really about the action of the servant as much as it's about what that gift revealed about that servant. Now we got to bring this parable into our world today. God entrusts you and me with much, with many blessings, as we say, many investments, if you use the language that we're thinking about today. You know what they say, right? Count your blessings and you'll see all the amazing things God gives. Now, be wise and understand. glean from this parable how this works. It's as simple as this. What God gives you and what God gives me reveals who we truly are. Reveals our true character and nature based on how we use what he entrusted us with. But see, I realized as I was in this wrestling match this week, because I had another wrestling match last week, if you recall, with the parable of the 10 virgins and the oil. As I wrestled this week, I realized I'm not sure that that's very good news for us. That what God gives us or entrusts us with reveals us. To me, it seemed kind of sad because it reveals a lot about us, what we do with the things God entrusts us with. A couple examples. One, forgiveness. God gave to you and me, well, he gives it all the time, but he gave it to us again this morning. Forgiveness. What do you do with forgiveness? It's a good question. Do we, using the language of the parable, invest it? Forgive others, I mean, making our master an increase on what he's entrusted us with? Or have you buried that forgiveness in the dirt of your heart? Same goes for faith. He gives us faith, but do we just bury it in us? Thinking that when he comes back from the journey, that we're going to hand him what he gave us, and it's going to be enough. From this parable, okay, it doesn't seem like it will. He also desires, not just for us, that we receive what he gives us for our own sake. But he also desires that we share and make an increase for him. And he said it too in a very famous passage of scripture from Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. He said, "Go ye therefore unto all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." See, there's forgiveness. "Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you," there's faith. "And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." But see, here it caught me, see, because there's a difference in our parable, between our parable and what Jesus just told us in Matthew 28. In our parable, the master left and went away. And the servants that he described, 1, 2, 3, 5, 2, 1 talents, those servants were alone. They were without their master. But Jesus just told us in his Great Commission there, he said at the end of it, "And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So what does that mean for us? Well, does our Lord desire that the blessings that he gives us benefit us? Yeah. Yeah, he does. And he wants us to enjoy them, right? I think it's in Ecclesiastes where it says there's really nothing better for a person to do than to enjoy the work that God's given them. But does he also desire that we share the blessings he gives us to the benefit of others? Also, yes. Yes, he does. I think the parable's showing us something, friends. It's showing us that there's two purposes for God's blessings that he delivers to us. There's not just one selfish one. There's two. What we're given from God isn't just for us. It's also for our neighbor. As Jesus himself says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Listen to this passage from 1 Timothy chapter 6. When Timothy was a pastor in Ephesus, the Apostle Paul wrote to him, and chapter 6 said these words, "As for the rich in this present age," and just so you know, that's all of us, "those who have received an investment," like from the master, "charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on uncertain riches." In other words, don't bury them. "But on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." See, there's the first purpose of the blessing. Now here comes the second purpose. "They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of what is truly life." God wants us to enjoy the blessings he gives, yes, but just as importantly, he desires that we share and not bury them. From forgiveness to faith to all of our material possessions. But we're really, really good at burying them, right? We're really good at it. We're good at hiding them. We're good at keeping our mouths closed when it comes to our faith sometimes. And we're good at socking things away. We fear we won't have enough. Like, that's the honest truth. Can you just say it out loud? Can I? You're afraid. And so am I. That there isn't going to be enough. Like, he's a harsh master and he won't keep it coming. That's what's really going on. When we don't want to share. But here's the thing. Everything that we possess, absolutely everything from our faith to our money, it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to him. And we belong to him. If we're faithful over a little, he will set us faithful over much in the ages to come. He wants us to make a return for him on what's his. Or do we misunderstand the ownership of those things? We've got to bring it down to this point, friends. Sometimes people misunderstand and they think that because our salvation is by grace through faith alone, that because Jesus did 100% of the work of our salvation, that there's nothing really required of us as Christians. Some people think that, and it couldn't be further from the truth. See, later in this chapter in Matthew 25, pushing forward just a bit, we hear this, Jesus saying to us, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do to one of the least of these," or I'm sorry, "as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. For I was hungry," he says, "and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to the one of the least of these," he says, "you did not do it to me." And these will go away, the text says, into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I hear the righteous are described by what they do with what the master entrusted to them. So how do we make sense out of it? Well, we know the Bible clearly says that we're saved only by grace, through faith alone. And it even goes as far in Ephesians 2 to remind us of that very clearly by saying, "not of works, lest no one should boast." So we can't confuse that. But if we're saved by grace, by everything Jesus did, do our good works or our sharing instead of bearing really matter? Yeah, big time. The works do not save us. This is confessional stuff here. The gift of faith saves us. Still, what we do with what's been given to us, like in the parable, can absolutely condemn us. But there's one more thing. The works, the sharing instead of bearing, the investing what God has given to us into the least of these, as Jesus puts it, these works actually come from our believing. They come from our faith. Listen to James in his epistle, chapter 2. He says, I will show you my faith by my works. James is telling us that our faith that we've been entrusted with by our master is a good works factory. Within each of us that have true faith given of God, baptized in his name, there comes from us good works out of us, flowing from us, as Jesus says in John 10. Sharing, not bearing. True faith causes us to think and act like the first two characters in the parable. To take what the master gives and share it so that he has an increase upon his return. After all, is this not exactly what our Lord Jesus did with his life? He did. He was given many things also by the Father. But what did he use those things for? He used them for you. All of them for you and me. To save us, he goes to the cross. He didn't bury his purpose within himself. He didn't hide who he was. He faced the suffering of this life head on. He shared who he was with you and me and everyone. Literally giving up himself completely for the sins of the world. And look at the return the Father gave him. Did you know that according to statistics, I found this fascinating, that in the last 100 years, that the number of people confessing to be Christian has quadrupled from 600 million to today over 2 billion. That was his work. And imagine the thousands and thousands of years before today, right? Before this 100 years. Jesus was the one who made a massive return on what God entrusted to him and all that he did for us. And then remember what it said in the Great Commission at the end. In Matthew 28, his promise to us. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And that means within each of us, as believers, the one who didn't use a single thing he was entrusted with selfishly, our Lord Jesus, he's not the last servant in the parable. That's not him. That's a good description of people who live in this world apart from Christ. And that's a good description of their destiny as well. But for those with whom he dwells. Remember, he said, I'll never leave you. Believers, those who confess the truth that Jesus died for them, he leads us by his word and spirit to do the same. This is the thing. When we think about salvation, we think about how Jesus saved us, right? But we think about how he saved us only like from the outside. This parable's showing us something amazing. He didn't just save you from the outside. He's also saving you from the inside right now. Currently, today, this moment. The same Jesus that willingly suffered for others, who shared himself and trusted his own life, is still working it out within you. He's still about the work of the first two servants in the parable, but inside of you and me. This is why, when we see someone in need, when we see somebody who needs help, whether it be physical help or spiritual help, our heart goes out, as we say. And we feel for them. And we have empathy. And then we're like, man, sometimes we go home, right? And we think about that person. We say, oh boy, is there anything I can do to help? Meet your Lord, literally on the inside of your heart and your brain. He's the one who doesn't use his life for himself, but he uses it for them. And now it's in you. Now it's inside of you. And you could even feel it. Friends, Jesus is really with us, according to his promise. He says this in John 14, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come, that's Father, Son, to him and make our abode with him. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is a description of the experience of being a believer and a disciple of Jesus right now today. Us living, yes, entrusted with blessings from our Master, but not alone. Jesus is with us, and he's leading and guiding our lives of faith so that when our Master does return, he will find that we also, can you rejoice in that? I can. I'm excited about this. That we also, thanks to Jesus within us, as much as we're connected to him, have made a great return on what he entrusted us with. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this point in our service, we pause for a moment to receive our tithes and offerings. As our offerings are collected and presented this morning, we'll enjoy an instrumental from our organist. Now we come to the time in our service where we are blessed to receive our new member to our congregation, Amanda. Would you and Bailey like to come forward? It's always a special Sunday when we receive new members into our congregation. We're blessed by God to have you with us, Amanda, and also certain that he continues to lead and guide you according to his will. So we continue with our rite of reception of members by profession of faith. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day in the presence of God and of this congregation acknowledge the gifts that God has given you in your baptism? Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, say yes, I renounce him. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit? If so, say, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the small catechism to be faithful and true? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? If so, say, I do by the grace of God. Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? If so, say, I do by the grace of God. Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? If so, say, I do by the grace of God.
I do by the grace of God.
Do you desire to become a member of this congregation? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Will you support the work of our gracious Lord as he's given it to this congregation with your prayers and gifts that God has given to you? If so, say, I will with the help of God.
I will with the help of God.
Upon this, your confession of faith, I acknowledge you publicly that you are a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Would you face the altar with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your goodness in bringing this, your daughter, Amanda, to the knowledge of your Son and Savior, Jesus Christ, and enabling her, both in heart, to believe and with mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that by your word and spirit, they may continue steadfast in the one true faith and the fellowship of this congregation, and together as we wait the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Amanda, we welcome you in the name of the Lord. Would the congregation also repeat after me? We welcome you in the name of the Lord.
We welcome you in the name of the Lord.
And Miss Bela as well, yes. Yeah, who we look forward to, hopefully, baptism, and then also confirmation one day, of course, so where she'll make her confession of faith. So you're all done. You can go back, yeah. You'll get a chance to hopefully greet her after the service. And we continue now with our service with our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, enter not into judgment with your servants, for no one living is righteous before you. Lord, have mercy on those who are haunted by guilt and shame, and faithfully convince them of your grace and holiness for them in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, teach us to do your will, for you are our God. Strengthen pastors to meditate on all you have done and to proclaim your word in its truth and purity. Lord, also strengthen all church workers, deaconesses, DCEs, those who work in your schools. Lord, encourage them that their work might be seen as it is. Wonderful, beautiful service to you. Lord, that your good spirit may lead us on level ground, holy and righteous before you. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, you have made us children of the light and of the day. Lord, you have saved us at your cross and resurrection. Lord, and you continue to do your work within each one of us.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody, live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM. KSPK.